I'm going to be talking about language barriers in the delivery and reception of diabetes care. We have no conflict of interest to declare, but we want to thank the NIDDK and patients and staff at San Francisco General Hospital. This is my outline. I'm going to talk about why our goal, why we did what we did actually, and how, what we found, and moving forward. So our goal was to understand the experience of diabetes care across the language divide from the perspective of patients, and I should say that it's Latino patients whose primary language is Spanish, but also have either difficulty understanding or expressing themselves in English. So we call them LEP, limited English proficiency, and how this influence may experience diabetes outcomes. We did it because Latinos are the largest and fastest growing minority. Almost half of the 52 million Latinos speak English. English less than very well. They are disproportionately affected by diabetes. And when they have limited English proficiency, they're more likely to have poor diabetes control. And we define poor diabetes control actually quite loosely, over 9% of hemoglobin A1C. And there's quite a bit of good work done quantitatively, but quite a bit less so qualitatively, to understand the experience of patients and see how this experience affects outcomes. So we did a qualitative study. The broader study includes more than what we did, MD interviews, observations, but we're only going to talk about the patients. And I'm going to go quickly over this because we screened them for language skills, limited English proficiency, and self-report on type 2 diabetes. Have you ever been diagnosed by a professional? The sample was small, as is typical of qualitative studies. Do not purport to understand, representativeness. No, that's not the kind of issues that we're seeking. We're seeking to understand the meaning of experiences to individuals. We conducted a hour and a half sessions that included a brief survey on demographic issues, exploring how language concordance or discordance care differ for the patients, and what are their experience about outcomes, what are their thoughts about outcomes, what helps improve patient-provider communication, and what do they feel valuable to their diabetes management and outcomes. Our analytic framework, interpretive phenomenology, translated into plain English, just assumes that people practically engaged and situated within their worlds, and they can ably report, inform us, and help us understand their lived experiences. And we do this through a combination of seeking concrete narratives of experiences and then eliciting reflections or evaluations of those experiences. And we think of ourselves, investigators, that are an active element in the analysis. So what do we find? Well, this is a little bit the demographics. It's not terribly interesting. They all all our participants had experience with concordant and discordant care. The majority had language discordant clinicians, and almost half of them were on insulin. And the mean hemoglobin A1C, by the way, was quite good by our own definition of good control, around 8%. The most interesting is the story. What was the story? What story do we find? Well, unsurprisingly, I would say, patients felt more sort of authentic, more themselves. They say, no, I'm more myself, in their own language. They felt that much was lost in translation, much of the subtleties of human communication. They also experienced greater trust when they received language concordant care, when they could express themselves with their physician in Spanish. However, they did not believe, and this is sort of our surprise, we didn't expect to find this, but they did not believe that whatever language they communicated with their practitioner had absolutely anything to do with their diabetes outcomes. And that was sort of pretty much across the board, maybe with the exception of one or two patients. Now, why is that? Well, as we read through the transcripts of my colleagues sitting right in front of you, we realized that patients believe that diabetes management and outcomes So long as you get proper quality diabetes care and an accurate interpretation, is in the last instance on you. It's your responsibility. So therefore, they praise themselves, they feel happy when they're doing well, but they also blame themselves when they're doing poorly. And they're pretty much ignoring everything else. What are some of the things that are lost in translation? Well, the patient feels less disposed to share their life world, you know, their personal issues, what concerns, what's in their mind, or even request clarification from their providers. This is very often. They also feel embarrassed at the presence of a third party, even if the third party might often be a machine. They don't want to share information with what they perceive to be non-medical personnel, such as the interpreters. They also experience difficulty with getting a sense of the experience as another human being, particularly when the mediation is done through machines, which is increasingly more often. And then they perceive three-way communication as very awkward, and sometimes, quite often, they distrust the accuracy of the interpretation. They don't think that the interpreter has actually communicated very well. Let me just show you some quotes. This is like being oneself, feeling more authentic. I feel more happy when I speak my language. I feel calm and happy when I have a doctor who speaks Spanish. It's easier to explain all I have. I feel more comfortable, at peace. It's easier to ask questions when you engage in conversation like this. And they were saying like this to me because I'm a native Argentine, so I speak Spanish fluently. Like this with you. Face to face, it's the trust that you feel. I look at her, I can express myself. Not that she doesn't ask me. This is referring to whether they seek clarification when they don't understand the doctor's instructions. They say, well, I just don't feel comfortable to seek clarification through an interpreter. Some of the things that are lost in translation, well, talk to the translator. The translator tells me. The translator refers to the doctor. We are all in this triangle. It's kind of a mess. I would like to explain to my doctor in my own words, but I'm talking to a machine. That's a bit funny. Those are some of the things that undermine trust. Now, with respect to language, they were unequivocal. I don't think so, that language makes a difference. With the interpreter, if I understand well, this is a patient who didn't have distrust in the interpreter explains that I have this or that, they give my medication. I don't think that makes a difference to my diabetes control. It's not about the doctors, it's about me. Okay, they continue saying some of these things, even in front of some clear social structural barriers, like, you know, sometimes I don't have any money other than for beans and rice. But it's still, you know, ultimately on me. They are concerned to receive humane care. They care that the doctors treat them with dignity. And they define professionalism as a doctor who has the ability to treat them with dignity, dealing with human beings. And also doctors who are affectionate, who can actually hug them and cry with them when they receive bad news. They're also concerned with physician competence. They say, well, it's no good to speak Spanish if you're not going to prescribe the right treatment. This is what one patient told us. And then they also want to be explained the procedures very well. And these are all very low-income people and with very low education, mind you. So she helped me see, the doctor, see the risk of not taking insulin. That helped me a lot. So this is kind of sort of, we're not artists, but this is kind of sort of our visual idea of the patient implicit schema. Trust, language, being your authentic self, these are all good things. They do not believe, however, patients, that is, that are related to their diabetes control. Being a good patient is what makes the difference, and also having a competent physician. Now, why this self-blame? Well, this is our interpretation. The truth is, we see diabetes control as a double-edged sword, right? This is a goal that we all desire as medical professionals, but diabetes care is intertwined with all aspects of life. Self-management is essential and desirable. It's encouraged, at least normatively, by the medical system. However, the emphasis on self-management sometimes tends to obscure the multiple factors that contribute to successful self-management and good outcomes. One of them being the social and political determinants of health, like having or not having money to follow a proper diet, time to do your exercise, and so on and so forth. And also the very evolving nature of diabetes mellitus. Those of us who deal with, you know, diabetes, we know that, you know, everybody dies at the end of it, right? And it's likewise, you know, bodily functions over time also may tend to deteriorate for reasons that we don't quite understand, but they actually do. So the emphasis on self-management somehow obscures all these things, right? So let me just show you one quote. He said, the doctor tells me your test came down, and I know she's happy. When I was level 9, I promised her that I would try to improve. I reached level 7, then said, yes, with your strong will, we can achieve that, the doctor tells the patient, right? And I told them, yes, I had lowered my levels quite a bit in the past. They told me that maybe I could reach level 6 because that was the best. That motivates me to continue doing what I'm doing. I have to achieve it. You see, so there's like virtually no notion here that anything else other than good than behaviors could influence diabetes outcomes. So even the praise from very well-intentioned providers feeds into this idea that it's the patient's sole responsibility. So the conclusions is, well, language discordant care is desirable. It enables, you know, easier communication, more openness, more trust. In language discordant care, however good interpretation might be, much is lost in the translation. Now, for patients, from their perspective, this is neither necessary nor sufficient language discordant care, that is, to diabetes outcomes, to what is a good provider. They want a provider who is competent, who will give them what's good for them from a medical point of view. They also want a provider who treats them with dignity. And they feel absolutely responsible for their own diabetes control. Our concern, of course, is that this self-blame may obscure the role of the doctor with assisting with self-management. And we believe that that makes of good diabetes control a double-edged sword, because it may obscure other important barriers. Moving forward, well, from a clinical point of view, eliciting trust, which we believe to be important, is easier in language concordant care, but we must be mindful as health providers about patients' self-blame and mindful of other structural barriers. From a health systems point of view, clearly bilingual physicians are linked to patient satisfaction. Patients were satisfied when they could speak their own language, but we also want to propose, as this could be a paper on its own, a shift from patient-centered care to person-centered care, because patients talked a lot about that, being treated as persons. Now, from a societal point of view, we need to understand language barriers in diabetes care in a broader context. Needed and inevitable emphasis on patient participation in self-care may inadvertently strengthen the hegemonic view that places responsibility for diabetes outcomes solely on individuals, whether their beliefs, their attitudes, their behavior, their cultures, to the detriment of the social and political determinants of health disparities. Thank you very much for your attention. Any time? Did I save any time for like one or two quick questions? Yes. Yes. Could you tell me more?
Maybe just a counterpart, for example, if this was done to a group of Americans, then what would be the probability that they would attribute that self-blame? And I think it would be very little. And I think that partially due to culture. So I was wondering, in this population, if that may play a role, and if perhaps that could be a point to address then kind of.
I see the point you're trying to make. Well, let me tell you, if I, you know, an English-speaking person opens the, you know, the CDC website or, you know, the NIDDK or whatnot, you see an enormous influence on health behaviors as determining outcomes in chronic conditions generally and particularly in diabetes, right? So assuming access to proper care. So there might be a cultural aspect to all this, but that's what I mean by hegemonic view. The hegemonic view is that it's all about behaviors, or at least, you know, we all know, you know, the social determinants, you know, money and this and that, you don't have job, blah, 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 the healthcare system is a mess, but if you do the right thing, you'll get the proper outcomes. I take that to be what we call in our study the hegemonic view. So maybe because English-speaking Americans are more exposed to some other of the factors, we can manage to pull ourselves out of that hegemonic view. It may be that for limited English proficient patients, they can't do that. And that might play a role. So it's an important point. Yes. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yes. We had a 20 patients. We also have about 15 physicians and about we are doing some observations of the actual interaction, but I'm not reporting about them here.
Concordance and discordance.
The operationalization, well, first of all, the proficiency, the English proficiency and the patient, and they both had experience with language concordant, language discordant care. The Spanish proficiency of the doctor, we have an instrument to screen that, and then the extent to which they demand external assistance from either a professionally trained interpreter or an ad hoc interpreter, by either family member or staff, like a nurse.
We also use the questionnaire.
Right. Right, that's a good point. I wanted to mention that our patients were all limited English proficiency. Our providers were all limited Spanish proficiency. I mean, not all, 60% of them. And the rest really was a shade of grade. The reality is hard to put into really neat boxes because they're all over the place. And you probably know that living in a country that has also a lot of immigration, people come and go.